If I can't make it through this, come on up, Pastor Gary.
I meant to say, it isn't that God isn't faithful. He just wasn't going to have make that
happen. You felt pretty strongly that that wasn't in the will of God? Okay. All right. I've got three things that I'll say, and I want you to kind of come up with what these three things have in common. Ready? A pinky promise, a handshake, and Scout's honor. Pinky promise, handshake, and Scout's honor. What do those three things have in common? And you can shout this out. We're not giving people time to think. Well, what are those? How are those related things? Pinky promise, handshake, and Scout's honor. They're all ways that people have come up with to try to convince other people that what they're saying really is true, right? That what they're saying, they're really going to do what they promised to do. So there's pinky promise, there's handshakes, and then if you've watched the newsies, you can take your handshake up a notch where you can do a spit shake, right? To really mean, that's what they used to do back in the Bronx, on the streets when they really meant it, the spit shake, right? Yikes. You can swear on your life. I swear on my life. Or if you take it the next step further, you can swear on your mother's life. I swear on my mother's life, right? That's a big deal. If you've watched Survivor, and I've watched a couple seasons, they never say, I'm 100% honest with you. They always take it up a notch. They always say, I'm 1,000% honest. 1,000%. As a way to try to convince someone, really, really, I'm trying to be truthful here. You can trust me. I promise. Right? You can give Scout's honor. You can simply say, I'm a man of my word. Right? In a court of law, what do we have people do to make sure they're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Swear on the Bible, right? All of these different kind of ploys that we do to try to convince other people that we are going to tell the truth. We are going to be 1,000% honest, so to speak. And yet, the truth is, does something special happen when you put your hand on the Bible that makes you unable to tell any lies? No. When you give Scout's honor or a handshake or even a pinky promise, are those unbreakable somehow because of that action? No. We all fall short. We are not perfectly faithful to our word yet. God is. God is the only one who has kept every single promise that he has ever made. There's a song lyric that I'll play at the end of the service. And that song lyric is kind of the thrust of today's lesson. And the song lyric says this: let my heart learn that when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Let us learn this lesson today as we look at the life of Abraham. And let's see how these timeless truths and principles apply in our life, in our situations that we find ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered today to sing your praises because great is your name, great is your steadfast love, and you are worthy of our praise. And we have gathered today to encourage one another and to lift one another up in prayer in this community that we live in, Lord. Because we know that there is power in prayer when we humble ourselves before you and we cast our burdens on you like you call us to do. So be honored in that, Lord, as we humbly do that. And also, Lord, as we turn to your word and to the testimony that we have, the account that we have of the life of Abraham, Lord, let our hearts learn that when you speak a word and give a promise, it will come to pass because great is your faithfulness, Lord. And help us live in light of that sure truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, here it is. the chalkboard for our summer school lessons here on Sunday. We are just getting started in our new summer series that I've entitled Teachable. The goal is to look at accounts that we have in the Bible of people who have learned lessons. Some of them learned the easy way as they trusted and obeyed and lived life according to God's ways. Some of them learned the hard way as they veered off from God's path, and God had to gently and compassionately instruct them and bring them back in the way. But in all of these lessons, we learn lessons about humanity, about ourselves, about life, about God. And my hope is that we can be, as we look at these accounts, that we can be teachable as we apply these things in our own lives, these timeless truths. They're recorded for us to be guided by. And a guiding verse that you see on the screen is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that in all these accounts, our desire is to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not on our own understanding, as that will lead us astray, but in all our ways to acknowledge Him, His goodness, His words, His commands, His faithfulness, and He has promised He will direct your path. So today's account is the life of Abraham. So you can open up to Genesis 12 if you have your Bibles with you. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit, though. And if we correctly see the life of Abraham, and for a while, I tried to zoom in a whole bunch of different places and connect all the dots, and it got a little convoluted, and I wasn't at peace with my sermon. So this is one of those that later on in the week, I scrapped the whole thing and decided I want to simply touch down on a few points in Abraham's life that are going to drive home this main point. Because I believe if Abraham's life is correctly studied and looked at, it will help us simply trust. It will guide us in the faith that Abraham had. Words that kept coming to my mind as I studied the life of Abraham that I really keyed in on: promise, faithfulness, and goodness. Great is your faithfulness to me, is the thrust of today's lesson. And that is something that each of you are in a different place in life right now. Some young, some old, some secure, some with questions. There's a lot of different places, and yet this is an anchoring truth for us. Great is His faithfulness to each one of us. So let us learn that lesson, and let us turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read just the first three verses. Follow along with your eyes as I read it. It is also on the screen. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and this is a watershed moment in Scripture where God is going to put in place, start a plan of redemption. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Most of us have read this passage before. It's famous. The moment where God elects or picks this man, Abram, and he gives him one simple command, one simple instruction, and then promises. Here we see God beginning this great plan of redemption. Later in 15 and 17, these passages turned into a covenant that was established and ratified, and we'll look at that a little bit, and built upon. Abraham learned many things starting in this moment about this God who called him. And because we have the full account before us in Scripture, we can see all he learned in his lifetime and then some. And I hope to connect his life to ours in several ways that we might see this God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is, simply put, worthy of full trust. We can trust his good commands, each one of his promises, because he is faithful. So the simple outline that we have before us, these lessons that Abraham learned. First, Abraham learned that God is a God who makes promises. He reveals his will, and he attaches to that promises. And Abraham learned that God isn't 50-50 on his promises. When God promises, for good or for bad, when God promises, God keeps his promises. And so in the end, I think what Abraham learned is that God is faithful. And since God is faithful, and that root word of faithful is the idea of trustworthiness, Abraham learned that he can trust. He can walk in faith, looking at the one who is faithful. I think so much of Scripture and study of the life of Abraham highlights Abraham's faith, and rightfully so, as he is coined as the father of the faithful, right? He is a good example of faith. But I don't think that Abraham got to the end of his life and thought, man, was I faithful. Man, I'm so glad I left the rest of the world such a good example of faith. I don't think that's what he would have said. I think he would have said, great is his faithfulness to me. I was prone to wander. I had moments where I didn't have faith, but God was always worthy of my trust. His promises always carried me through, because great is his faithfulness to me. So starting in the first lesson, Abraham learned, Genesis 12, God's making promises. And the first one that we see in this passage, or that I want to focus on, is that God did tell Abraham that he would have a child to carry this blessing that would eventually become this nation and receive this inheritance. Genesis 12, 2 simply puts it, you will become a great nation. Meaning you will have, so far at this point, Abraham was about 75, and his wife was barren. They were childless, right? I think we know the story. And yet God comes with this great promise. No. Not only will you have a family with a great name, but a nation will come from you. And later he promised that kings would come from him. And as this promise was delayed, Abraham was prone to wander, right, and came up with other plans that he would have a child by not his wife Sarah. He questioned God, and God came to him again in Genesis 15, verse 4, and confirmed this promise to Abraham. In Genesis 15, 4, again, a passage we're mostly familiar with, it said, and behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, this man, Ishmael, his son through Hagar, this man will not be your heir, but your very own son, between you and Sarah, your very own son will be your heir. And he had to wait 25 long years, as it seemed more and more impossible that the promises of God would come true. But that's a promise that God made. Your own son will be your heir and carry on this covenant and receive this inheritance and will be the beginning of this great nation. Secondly, we see that God said, you will have a land. Genesis 12, 1 says, to a land that I will show you. And again, later in Genesis 15, and we're going to be skipping between 12 and 15 quite a bit, but in Genesis 15, verse 18, he clarifies further, as Abraham had been wandering and had seen all this land. Genesis 15, 18, it gets a little more specific. It says, on that day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land. And he spelled it out from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. And he goes on in those verses, kind of spelling out the parameters of this specific land that God said, I covenant, I promise to give to you. And again, one that Abraham would have to wait. And actually, this promise to Abraham outlasted Abraham's life. But does that mean that God was not faithful? We will see. The third one, Abraham, you will be a blessing to all families, to all nations. We see it in Genesis 12:3, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And again, we see it later in Genesis 22, as these promises are being put into a covenant, and God is further revealing all of his intentions and his will and his promises to Abraham. And in Genesis 22, verse 15, we read this. And again, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself, I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, after Isaac was born, right? Your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. All of these, in these chapters, Abraham is learning, God's making promises to me. He's revealing his will to me, his plan for me. And then God does something interesting. As all of this is happening, God wanted to show Abraham and vicariously show us and teach us an important lesson about God's word. And we alluded to it a little bit when it said, I have sworn by myself. But God does his own version of a pinky promise or scout's honor or a handshake. We see it in Genesis 15. Something that's not familiar to us today, but the idea of a blood covenant, a strong covenant between two people. In Genesis 15:8, Abraham has questions, saying, God, I know you're a God who makes promises. You've promised me a lot of things as you're revealing these things to me. How do I know? How can I have any assurance that you're going to do the things that you're saying? Because he would have had experience with other false gods who sometimes deliver and sometimes don't. And so Abraham's experience told him, how can I get any sort of guarantee that these promises are going to come true? How do I know you're going to be trustworthy? And we see a little bit of that struggle in chapter 15, starting in verse 8. Genesis 15, 8, God's pinky promise, so to speak. Way more significant than a pinky promise, though. Here it is. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Specifically talking about the land. And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So Abraham brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other, with a path between them. But he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now, if we would come across a scene like this, we might be a little terrified, wondering what has happened as we see animals cut in half and blood spilled between them, a little pathway leading between them. But this was something that was familiar, a custom in the time, where two men, when they really meant it, it's like a spit shake. I really mean this. To the point where let this be done to me. Let me be cut in half like these animals if I go back on my word. God uses a custom of the day to tell Abraham that he will be faithful to his word. Verse 12, something significant. The sun goes down. And a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. And then the Lord said to Abraham, and I love these words, "Know for certain." What peace-giving words. I can hear from a lot of politicians, "I promise," as it's an election season. And my heart doesn't go, "Yes, he promised. Now he's going to be faithful," right? But to hear this from the God of heaven, the Lord said to Abram, "I want you to know for certain that your offspring," and then he reveals this plan, exactly how it's going to go. "Your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs. They'll be servants there, slaves. They'll be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." Then verse 17, "When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and flaming torch passed between the pieces." And you see, what was normal was that both people in the covenant would pass between, saying, "I'll hold up my end of the bargain and you hold up your end of the bargain." But in this situation, God wanted to tell Abraham, "I will be faithful to my promises." And so he lets Abram sleep and gives him these certainties of his promise. And he, symbolized by this fire pot and flaming torch, enters into this covenant and gives Abram these words, "You can know for certain that as I have declared, so it will be." So first, Abram learned that God is a God who makes great and awesome promises. And they are based on, when God gives a promise, they're based on his faithfulness. That's an amazing truth. Abraham only needed to have faith and trust and obey and walk in the obedience of faith as the Lord does these great and mighty things in his life. And so as we read that, and we know the account of the Exodus and of Joshua, was God faithful to his each and every promise? Yes. So the second lesson, that as Abraham lived his life, and sometimes he learned the hard way, and this is where we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty. Sometimes he learned the hard way and made mistakes, and yet God was faithful to restore him, to bring him back, to continue the plan that God had, because he is faithful. And so Abraham learned through his life that God keeps his promises. We're just going to look at the three we mentioned. First, did Abraham end up having a child? Even when he was, in his own words, as good as dead, right? Genesis 21:5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. This promise was fulfilled in a way that only God gets the glory. And his faithfulness is put on display. Even though Abraham and Sarah walked faithfully in their duties, even at the age of 99, and I'm not going to get into that image for you, but they walked in the obedience of faith and did the things that they needed to do to have this child, and yet it was obvious that God miraculously delivered on his promise that they would be given a son. After 99 years of being barren, the child came, and God showed himself faithful. Next, Abraham's descendants would receive the land, even after years in a foreign land being servants. Did this come true? Again, did this come true in only a way that God shows himself faithful? Yes. Did Joshua faithfully trust and obey? Yeah, he walked around those walls of Jericho, right? and the walls came tumbling down. He walked in the obedience of faith. But what he did was he watched God give this land to this great nation. God gave them the land. And one of my favorite verses of all time, Joshua 21:45. Listen to this. Hear God say, "Know for certain that I am faithful when I give promises." And then we fast forward to Joshua 21:45, where it says, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." Again, as we reflect on these moments, this life of Abraham and these promises, let my heart learn, when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is thy faithfulness to me. And the third one, did Abraham become a blessing to all the nations? Again, in only a way that God can receive the glory for his faithfulness. Yes. Through Abraham's descendants came the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who would save the world, who would save his people from their sins. He would come to be known as the Son of Abraham because his actions are attached to the promises made to Abraham. So that all who come to him by faith, the faith that Abraham was the forerunner of, would be saved, both Jew and Gentile, every tribe, nation, and tongue. And one day all nations will gather together and sing praises to God and to the Son. So we see this in two places in the New Testament, where we see Jesus attached back to these promises made to Abraham. Galatians 3:8 makes this connection plain, simply saying, "And Scripture, the Old Testament, foreseeing that God would justify all the nations, Gentiles included, by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.'" God's attaching that promise that we looked at in Genesis 12:3 to Jesus coming. And again, in Acts 3, this was a staple in the preaching of our early church founders. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 25, Peter is giving the sermon on Solomon's portico. And he connects Jesus all the way back to the promises of Abraham once again in Genesis 12, where he says this in Acts 3:25, "You are all now who have faith in Jesus, sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant," meaning this offspring, "sent him to you first to bless you by turning everyone from your wickedness." So the blessing of all nations that we see promised is Jesus, who makes forgiveness possible for one and all. Young and old, every tribe, nation, and tongue can receive this promise of being blessed. And if you notice here in Acts 3, the call is the same that Abraham heard. Abraham heard God say, "Go into a country I will lead you to, and leave your customs." Here we see, by faith, leave your life of sin, be baptized, and walk in a new life. Take hold of God's promises. And we hear this in Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it." So in the end, I think the testimony of Abraham for us, if we are teachable, if we look at these promises, if we look at these life events, it doesn't promise that life will be perfect or easy or comfortable. It doesn't promise that God's promises will come to us overnight or unfold just the way we think that they should unfold. And yet when God gives a promise, he is faithful to it. And so let us learn, let our hearts learn that when he speaks a word to us, it's something that we can build our lives around. It will come to pass because great is his faithfulness to us. So now I'm going to do something that is a little ill-advised, but I'm going to do anyway. I want to open it up to you guys. What are some of God's great and precious promises from Scripture that sustain you? Because I tried putting a list together and I thought to myself, some of these will land and some of them won't. But how awesome would it be to encourage one another that this lesson that we've learned from Abraham, for many of us, has come true in very tangible ways. So I am going to open it up and put you on the spot. And if there's a promise that is specifically precious to you, please share it with the congregation. And if there is something that in your life that is attached to that promise, a lesson that you have learned, feel free to attach that. But once again, don't take 20 minutes or 40 minutes. But I have allowed some time here. I have a few things if I get nothing but crickets, but God has given us so many great and precious promises. And he has told us, taste and see that the Lord is good, that his promises are true and will sustain you. So what are some precious promises that God has given to us, New Testament believers? And if you want to go further than just stating a promise, how has that either proven true in your life or affected your life? Dave.
He has held us together, and he's given us the life of believers who trust in the Lord, walk with the Lord, lift us up, and give us
Yeah, there's two things there. You'll never walk alone. I think of the Great Commission, surely I will be with you even to the end of the age. So he promised that he will be with us, but not only that, he has given us the body that we might not walk alone, but we might be strengthened and encouraged by one another. Thank you, Dave. Nancy. Yeah. He says it over and over in those passages and uses words like, surely I will be with you and uphold you. He wants us to build our lives on that. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, Kendra. Yeah, he is a good shepherd, and he will leave the 99 to go after the one, and he is faithful to do it. Dan.
So throughout our life, God has supplied our needs in times and ways that should have made me completely not worried about the next thing. But I'm really good at worrying about the next thing. But God is very faithful. We've never gone without anything. All the terrible things that I thought were going to happen, they have not happened. And so now I have a new thing. So I'm looking at Psalms 71. I think it's 71. Yeah, 71. So now my new fear, do not cast me off in the time of old age, because guess what? Forsake me not from my strength and strength. And this is my new stress. I know that God will provide, but I can't see. I don't want to sound too hopeless about this, but I don't see. I don't have the things set in place that make me think everything's going to be okay, but we are trying, and so this is my new promise to you.
Thank you for that transparency and for that passage. Wendy. Yeah. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Hearing their prayer and working it out. Carol.
Two that have been really helpful to me are for the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Heart to heart, we love Christ Jesus. For the Lord did not give us the spirit of fear, but one of love, all in some love. May it help to rock this.
Peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind. Yeah. Steve.
For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creatures will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thought it was very encouraging to me.
Yeah. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Heidi.
I didn't raise my hand.
I saw that.
Psalm 25, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to
shame. Amen. Gary.
In the last years here of retirement have been unusual and challenging for having the situation with her sister, which is finding is everything's resolved there. And now with her granddaughter, 12-year-old granddaughter has come to live with us. He's going through some difficulties and navigating that 12-year-old young lady in our house again is challenging. But for me personally, it's been trying to navigate what does it mean after formal ministry. You shared some things that I have needed to remember. And the promise that comes to my mind is that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So God has some things for us. I'm not sure what they are.
You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared beforehand that end at retirement. No. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared beforehand, and He will lead you in them even into retirement. Claire.
Tell us what's around the corner. We had known when we left or when my sister started her journey what it would entail. God didn't give us all that. He just gave us walk faithfully one step at a time and took us through it. It was difficult, yes. And now it's, a new challenge with Ava, but God is good and He knows what's around the corner. So he just says one step at a time. Trust me,
and I'm amen. Thank you, Claire. Willow.
Just that the light of the tear from our eyes, that weeping may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. Just sometimes our morning doesn't come on this side of heaven, but the comfort is that someday He will wipe it all away, whether it's here or there.
Yeah, thank you, Willow. Jeff.
Run into situations where we didn't know where to turn if we were going to be able to even have a home or anything. And in Malachi 3:10, one of His promises, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not so open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And He has been faithful.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Wyatt.
No matter
Awesome. Run.
Lamentations 3, but steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yeah, new mercies every morning is a promise that is humbling. Because there are mornings that we need mercy over and over again, and yet he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Great is his faithfulness and steadfast love. He is rich in mercy. Thank you, Ron. Yeah.
I'm just so thankful that God has given us salvation through believing in him, not through anything that we try to do in our own efforts. And I'm just so grateful because I believe, therefore I am saved.
Yeah. Yeah, and you walk in that obedience of faith beautifully, and he gets the glory. Great things he has done. Thank you. One for me, transparency moment. Becoming pastor at Memorial Drive was a bit of a humbling and scary experience. And so I thought back to Joshua, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to preach through Joshua was for my own sake. But he called Joshua to be strong and courageous and know that the Lord God is with him. And he who called is faithful. And I think of James where it says, does any of you lack wisdom? And there are times that I acknowledge life can be messy and ministry can be difficult. And there are times that I lack the wisdom, but God has promised me, if any of you lacks wisdom, he need only to ask, and God gives generously. I'm thankful for that. And I have seen that, him speaking through me in different situations. And so he has been faithful to me these few years. And I want to give him the glory for that as a promise that I have seen fulfilled over and over in my life. Any final ones before we move on? Okay. My encouragement to you today, mine these scriptures for the promises of God. Diligently seek them and hide them in your heart. Hold them tightly, trusting in God's faithfulness when he gives a word. Because if you remember our sermon last week, we have an enemy. And that enemy wants to twist the words of God. He wants us to both doubt the promises of God, and he wants us to misunderstand the promises of God and get them twisted. But let us be a people who diligently seek after the promises of God that he has given us in his word, that we have seen come true in the lives of all throughout the scriptures, and not just through the scriptures, but in our own lives. Each one of us is a testament of God's faithfulness to his promises. Let us be teachable, and let us be a people who trust in the Lord in every moment, in all our ways, and lean not on our own understanding, our own emotions, our own fears, our own struggles, but in all our ways, let us acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. That is a great and precious promise. So today's prayer, let my heart learn, when you speak a word, it will come to pass. So I want to end with a lyric video here of a song that has become one that's on repeat in our household. My kids know it well. But it reminds me of all these truths that we have talked about today. So be encouraged by this song called Promises. And then Jeff will come up and close.